Hello, everybody. Time for another Shop Talk show. This one's just Dave and I, episode number 225, doing lots of different Q&A. Let's see, what are we going to get into here? We got somebody here worried about being left behind, and we're going to do the Just Build websites, but instead of just that, we're going to give you a huge list of things that you could build while you're just building websites. Just build what, you might say? Well, Melanie Richards put together a master list of those, which you should check out. There's probably a link in the show notes. We got one here about the line between front and back end, engineer and developer, that type of stuff. Is JavaScript really back end these days? Kind of weird. Let's see. We got one about why can't you move the an icon that on your iOS or Android home screen on your phone? Can you animate those? That and more coming up later. For now, Dave, sir, please kick things off.
Shopper Maniacs, you're listening to another episode of the Shop Talk Show. I'm Dave Rupert. With me is Chris Goyer. Chris, how are you?
I am super good. At the end of last episode, we're like, you know what we should maybe have Dave do is talk about, you know, Dave Goes Windows, because that was a big subject for us kind of last quote-unquote season for a while, and we never really wrapped it up because, it was kind of a life change, you know. It's hard to wrap up something like that, so, but maybe there is a way to kind of end this thing, and I don't want to take any spoilers away from you, so maybe just tell us about how that went.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. So, I guess, is this kind of the end of Dave Goes Windows? I guess, we're wrapping up the experiment.
Let's call it end of it. We'll bring it back. I mean, it doesn't mean that we're not going to talk about Windows stuff anymore. And it doesn't mean that we preclude Microsoft sponsoring this podcast to have us talk about some other things or anything like that. But the Shop Talk show, Dave Goes Windows saga is over as of this.
Yeah, we're calling an end to, and really it's truthful to what we originally set out to do, which was 1 year on Windows, experiencing another ecosystem, which man, it's been a cool experience, I will say. Do we want to start with a TLDR of how it's been and then kind of go from there? Does that sound
well? And I can do a 2 seconds of it. Is they sent you a device to use, which is even the device itself I think is a little weird, because it's, I guess you'd call it a laptop, but it has a touch screen and it has a weird keyboard on and stuff, and that's literally the thing that you use full time.
Yeah, it's a Surface Pro 3, which is again now a gen behind, and I hear rumors of new surfaces on the horizon, but so it's maybe even getting close to two gens behind. So Surface
Pro. Oh, interesting. There's Surface Pro 5 now or whatever, or some kind of new naming.
I think something's coming. I hear, and I know Intel has a new chipset.
It looks like it's going to come in July or something. Yeah, I see. That's cool. So A, you didn't pay for it, but B, they didn't give us any money or anything either.
No.
All they gave you was the Surface Pro 3.
Surface Pro 3, and so I've been using it as my primary development machine, and it has been interesting. So I think my first hurdles were how do I do my job? And I maybe literally probably lost a month figuring this out, a whole switching an ecosystem, and now how do I do a Jekyll and how do I do, you know, Rails, and I maybe kind of lost a whole month getting into a new system. And so I know people out there are probably oh, that's a heart attack nightmare scenario. But for me, it was okay. I was in a bit of a low work cycle, so it was fine. So I spent a month kind of getting to know it, but I actually was able to start doing Jekyll and things like that in relatively quickly. But Rails was a big problem. Node is a first class citizen in Windows, so it's actually very, very easy to get up and going on Node and things like that. But you know,
focused a lot on the technology stuff, which is a very big deal, because that's the thing that actually allows you to do our job and be paid and all that stuff. But was that as big of a deal or a bigger deal than all the other, like, I don't know, there's this app that I miss, or I can't get used to the control key, or the hardware is weird, or it looks, you know.
Yeah, so the control key is a thing. I think people who use Macs are familiar with their command key, or used to be called the open Apple key, but the command key, and that's like right by the space bar. So you like use your thumb to trigger that one. But Windows is the control key, which is like your pinky has to like stretch and hit it. I will say, I think the Mac situation is way better, and only to say, I think there's like legit reasons, like your pinky finger is your weakest finger and least like mobile finger. And so it's kind of like when you stretch for a high note on a guitar, it's like you're kind of like, maybe my pinky's going to hit it or maybe it won't. You know, it's sort of that feeling with the control key. But, you know, after a few months or even a couple of weeks, like I'm very used to it. I think the hardest part was switching between computers and like, oh, I have to get something off my Mac, or I have to get something off of my PC. Like when you use switching or you're doing like device testing, that's actually really hard to do, is like to switch between. So, but once you like lock into a system, it's fine. But my complaint is it's like the weak finger, and somebody's going to comment and say, oh, you should just remap all your keys. And it's like, no, like that's okay. But I kind of want to experience the system, you know, like as it is. So that was sort of, I want to be true to the system.
And so you lost a month ish. Well, I mean, or it caught, you know, it's not like you were 0% productive, right?
Yeah.
This was a hard month of getting used to the new digs.
Yeah, it was hard month. And Rails was, I was, you know, kind of like going to do day trip during this kind of slow period. The day trip is a Rails app, and I couldn't, because the system was pretty broken. Like there was a gem that was outdated, never tested. It had been broken since January or March, and it's Nokogiri, which is like the core XML processor for Ruby on Rails. And it was broke on Windows for months.
Man, and, dude, Nokogiri is a pain on Mac even.
Yeah. So it was even worse when you're like the, sort of stepchild, you know, like, oh, we'll get to Windows whenever, you know, we get, you know, and I say that as a stepchild, no judgments against stepchildren. But it was just a, you know, that kind of second class citizenry, or to kind of borrow like a social justice term to just do terrible justice, like a microaggression sort of thing, like kind of when it's like, why is this not easy, or why did no one consider this? Those sort of things just kind of pile up into like a ergonomic, we talked about developer ergonomics recently, but those kind of pile up, and it's like, this is just, it's just hard to do my job, a little bit harder to do my job on this system, because you're kind of going against you're going against the like pop dev culture, if that makes sense. But you know, 80-90% of the world uses Windows, but there's like 10% that builds software. Oh, well, we use Macs and Linux. And so that's been, that was sort of eye opening. I know. And we kind of did it on the Shop Talk show. It's just like, you know, oh, our designers use Sketch, but I'm on Windows. What should I do? And our answer was like, well, buy a Mac and buy Sketch, you know, which is decent advice for a business. But if you're just like a lone developer in you know, Indonesia or Ukraine or India or anywhere, you know, it's just, that's maybe not, that's a lot of bucks to go buy an aluminum laptop just on a whim, you know?
Absolutely. And this was an intentional move, we should say, all along, too. It was, I mean, part of that going against the pop culture grain was the impetus for this. It was, I want to try and see what this is like. And it was, some of it was based on the statistics of the listeners of Shop Talk Show and the fact that we'd get plenty of questions regarding that grain and stuff. So you know, decided to open your mind a little bit by trying this. And now, how long has it been since that thing arrived at your doorstep? Has it been like Almost a year.
Exactly a year. And so that was kind of the like softball commitment was like, what if I switch to Windows for a year? And it's been like a year since it dropped on my doorstep. And so, yeah, it's been kind of wild, wild ride. So I was set up on Windows 10, like an early edition of that. Which Windows 10 is great. Can I just say this? Windows 10 is great. So, and one problem, I got into, you know, over the year or whatever, a few discussions about like Windows, you know, and people are like, oh, but it looks so ugly. And then they like find some screenshot on Google from like Windows Vista or something. And it's like, well, that's not what Windows looks like anymore. Or they're like, oh, it doesn't have this. And it's like, oh, actually, that's like all built in. It's like right here. You know, you don't know because you're not using Windows. So I think all of us have this kind of like, kind of predisposed opinion of what Windows is or whatever. And it's probably wrong is sort of what I want to say, you know? Cause Windows 10 is great. I've been on the, what's called the Insider Fast Track, which I think it's like 7 million people or something are beta testing this software. So I get updates every 2 weeks, and lately it's been every like 4 days, but I get updates every 2 weeks, and sometimes those are good. Like sometimes it's like, oh, everything just got better. Sometimes those are bad. And like my Wi-Fi card quits working. So it's been kind of hard to like judge beta software. I think that's one, if there's been a critique, it's, you know, it's tough. I think because people aren't paying attention to Windows, like the Twitter app is probably my best example, because I use Twitter a lot and I don't think they care about the platform as deeply as they could. Cause the app will just like, I click notifications and it just wipes. It like just disappears from my screen. It crashed and disappeared. And it's just like, this like quality, this stinks, you know, but I don't know if it's something I did on the fast track or if it's just a bad app, you know, so it's hard to judge, but that's been like a big like bummer from the whole thing. So I'll start with a bummer, Chris. Apps just disappear.
Okay, so, I mean, I think if anybody had a guess of how this was going to go for you, that's probably what they would have guessed. They'd be like, I don't know, Windows seems like it's gotten a lot better. Their hardware's gotten a lot better. It seems like it's going to be a little painful at first, but you'll probably get used to it over some time. And then you'll struggle through some tech stuff and it will mostly work, but there'll still be some pain. Like, I mean, it seems like not terribly surprising, but maybe one of the more surprising things is now that it's kind of towards the end of this. You had a experiment. You've struggled through a lot. You learned a lot. You used the stuff. You even still have some troubles here and there, but are ultimately like, no, what's your final answer? Are you going to stick with it? Are you going to switch back? Are you going to try Linux next?
Well, so I think the final answer is my next computer will be,
wow, here it is,
Windows 10 machine.
Wow. So you're going to go with the Surface 5 when it drops or whatever, or look at different options?
You know what I'm looking at, and hardware nerds will kind of be on board with me, and I'll explain this a little more, but I'm looking at Razer laptops, which are like super gamer laptops, but there's a new laptop announced called the Razer Blade 2016, Razer Blade, and you can like Google that, but there's a Razer Blade Stealth, which is like their MacBook competitor, but this is like the MacBook Pro. I kind of want a more power, like. I think just in general, I've been on a few 8 meg of RAM PCs or computers, even Macs for a while. And it just kind of, I think I hit the limits for what I do. But I want this, like this MacBook Pro kind of the Razer.
It's still cheap. I was like ready to get some sticker shock stuff, because it's like, it's a gaming thing. It looks really nice and all that stuff. And it starts at $999.
Yeah, well, and that's the Stealth, and then the Razer Blade, the 14-inch is kind of starts at like 2,000 or something like that. So still cheaper than like a MacBook Pro, and the specs are pretty similar, if not better, on this. And then what's the cool part is you can buy this thing called the Razer Core, which is like a like little thing that you attach to it, and it hooks over Thunderbolt 3, and it like has a GPU you can buy and hook up into it. And so now it's like a super gaming rig, like play Overwatch, Pwn Noobs, StarCraft, all that. But not that I'm like a super gamer, but this idea that I could like plug in and have access to that power is super cool. Like, and VR, I'm kind of getting into VR, so that'll do all the VR for me as well. So it's kind of cool that I can like, I don't know, have like just plug my computer into a thing, and now it's a super, super computer. So
they got their, it looks like an Abdu Zidu site almost, you know?
Oh, all yeah. All the
rainbow action.
Yeah, no, it's pretty hot, pretty gamery, which I'm not like a super gamer, but I think it'll be pretty dang cool.
It appeals to me too, to know that if we wanted to pop a StarCraft game, that it's going to be like mega high quality, high fidelity. I mean, gaming at its absolute best.
Because I tried.
Well, maybe. I mean, I would think a desktop machine probably is still the best, right?
Yeah, yeah. Desktop machine with like water cooled CPUs, blah blah blah. I've gotten into all that too. That's like, that can like, you can spend a lot of money and make a really cool thing. But that's, you know, I do make,
but this can be your regular computer also, and come with you on the plane and all that.
Yeah, this is my conference computer. This is my day-to-day. This is my go-to-meetings computer. This is my... And then I plug it in, and I have, like, access to high GPU. So one thing I've kind of... Like, I played some casual games like Firewatch and things like that.
Yeah.
And it just actually couldn't run. Like, I was getting 10 FPS on the Surface Pro 3. And so it just... Just even on low settings, it just wasn't good. It wasn't what the game wanted to be. So I just was like... You know, I want access to that. I've started doing some game dev on the side. So I'm definitely like, I want some access to a little bit more power, in my day to day. But here's what I will say. And people will disagree, I'm sure. But like, I think when I was in the Mac monoculture, and that's kind of what part of this has all been, is like, what is it? I have an iPhone, I have an iPad, I have a MacBook Pro and a MacBook. My wife uses a MacBook Air. And mm-hmm. So when you break out of that monoculture of all these Apple devices, what is it like? That was kind of the big question. And I think for the longest time, mostly because it was true at one point, you know, I think I felt like Apple had the best hardware, they had the best software, they had the best OS, they had the best, you know, design and everything. And, you know, what, like, I think what I learned over this past year is like, I now don't think any of those things are true anymore, which is so weird because it was a deeply held belief or just almost like fact. Like, of course it's the best. It's Apple. Johnny Ive wears a white t-shirt and tells me these things. Of course it's the best. I think the biggest change is I now understand there are like miles of hardware between the Apple hardware and like a next gen gaming computer. It's just a huge gulf between those things. There's, you know, software. Windows 10 actually looks good and feels good, and it keeps iterating and getting better, and I really like it. And that, you know, that like makes me feel good. I feel like when I watch like the Apple keynotes, it's progressing, but not kind of rapidly or whatever. And I'm just comparing and contrasting here from the two things I know. The sort of like, I think like what, I think the biggest thing, and this is maybe the clincher, because I was still kind of on the fence, but the biggest thing that's maybe is that Edge has, which is the browser I use every day, I'm looking at it right now, Edge has a, Edge does this, is going to support progressive web apps. They've kind of vocalized support for that. So that means websites will be akin to native apps, on Windows. And that to me is very cool. For me, it's like I appreciate how HTML, CSS, and JavaScript are first-class citizens in the like Microsoft ecosystem. Most of the apps I use are HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. I don't know. I'm like, I'm going to vote with my dollars and purchase that technology, I think is honestly what it comes down to, is I want to use technology that supports the web. So that's kind of where, I mean, that was like the final nail in the coffin when Edge was like, yeah, we're doing progressive web apps. I was like, that's what I want to put my money at.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Well, it'd be interesting to get some people. I feel like we've, you know, if Shop Talk Show has biases, which it has many, I'm sure, Mac being one of them for a long time and less so now, but still a little bit, because I'm just, I almost was relieved when you did this, because I'm like, oh, cool, so I can stay in my bubble and still have the show have some balance. Awesome.
So you, okay, you drew the short straw. Great. Good job.
I don't know. I mean, we have a, it's not different. We could do it too, but you know, with CodePen's deep stack, and you know, we mandate all our employees to have it because we have a very complicated, you know, local stack and stuff. I don't know. It's just one of those things. Like, I don't want to rock this boat right now. I'm busy.
That's fair. And my friend Lon put it. He was just kind of like. I've been, you know, the outsider. Like, I used the OS no one else used, and like, it's kind of your deal to figure out how it works. You know, like, if you're going to be the outlier, like, you, good luck, because like, things will break and you have to figure it out, and that's a fair business choice.
And you, maybe, right? you have that indie spirit better than most.
I think.
You know, like if my network card stopped working, I'd lose my stuff.
Oh,
I couldn't handle it.
I did. Yet. I was not cool. but it was like, you figure out everything you could do. I could kind of pin it up and it would work. But then 2 weeks later, it's done. It's fixed. You know, like, I kind of always knew like a fix was coming. So that was kind of cool. But, you know, also you talk about like, you, everyone's on like a Mac setup. It's like, what's cool about Windows is they've introduced that bash on Ubuntu on Windows thing, which is a full Linux environment running on your Windows system. It's a subsystem. It's not an emulator. It's not a VM. It's not anything like that. It's like full Linux under the hood. So you just open up a bash app and it's like,
oh, that's why bash works on Windows now, that big announcement or whatever.
Yeah, so it's like a Linux subsystem. So they basically figured out how, like, when Linux does a thing, there's just a little like I guess, you know, adapter or wiring plumbing that's like, okay, I'll just tell Windows to do this or something. So it works perfectly. You're not, you know, Cygwin was a, everyone's like, oh, just use Cygwin, but that's like C new binaries, like GNU binaries, compiled for Windows, and then maybe some tinkering's done to make it actually work, and it just kind of never felt right. So this is like full Linux, so like, I can hop in and basically do things in a very Ubuntu way. So you kind of like joked, like, oh, Dave, are you gonna like go switch to Linux now? And in some ways I have, because I'm like now opening the door to Ubuntu and like using that kind of daily now. So it's kind of a wild, just how it's all changed. It's kind of wild that I'm doing that now. Because I used to think I was very Linux-y, like savvy. Oh yeah, I use Linux. I use the command line all the time, man. But then like, you're presented with like a naked Ubuntu, like just nothing, you know, just blank. Dude, that's like, oh, I don't know Unix or Linux at all. And so I'm learning piece by piece how to do it the right way. So I used to think I was cool, but now I realize I was just a poser. total imposter.
Where I was going with the bias kind of thing is, we probably had more like Chrome people and Chrome talk and Chrome tech on this podcast as well as then we have had Edge people and Microsoft people and stuff. But that's interesting about the progressive apps, and because that feels like a very Chrome-y thing to have Edge going that way too. That's a possibility for a show in the future with some balance, I would think.
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of a huge deal for the web, just that. And Firefox has pledged support too, so just kind of waiting on Safari, which, you know, controls iOS entirely, so.
So part of this, some of this talk is, you know, you can go to daveruper.com and read some of your posts over time on this. Maybe a big final-ish one, much like this podcast, is the one you went to build kind of thing, which is now a number of months ago, but that kind of had some influence on you too, because it gave you some insight into, I don't know, what the Microsoft community is doing and saying and thinking from kind of the leadership on down.
Yeah, like, so this was eye-opening. I mean, I kind of follow Microsoft, you know, especially with this, and I have contacts there and have worked with them and do work with them from time to time, you know. So, I kind of know and I'm aware. But what was really cool, I went to the conference and I had a, like, legit, like, oh, wow, moment, you know, and because I was invited out by Ray Bango and kind of given like VIP kind of treatment. And it was really cool. But I was sitting there listening and they kept announcing things. Oh, we're doing this thing. Oh, we're doing Bash on Ubuntu on Windows. Oh, you can do this and you can do this now. We have like this SDK. We're doing bots. Like, they just kind of like opened up their whole product line and were just like, hey, let's, you know, build on this thing, you can build on this thing. It was like they opened up their whole product line, and my sense, like the vibe I got was like Microsoft's view of technology is, we want your thing to work with our thing. And I thought that was really cool, and they didn't say that outright, but that's sort of the impression I got. And that was a very cool, like, kind of like revelation or whatever. I just was like, I think that's how technology kind of should be, you know? I feel like, you know, we wait for every year when Tim Cook comes down from the Cupertino Mountain, you know, and he's like, you will buy these two new products this year. Or, you know, Google I.O. comes and it's like, here's how you have to build websites this year. And it's just, I think I wasn't like, I was kind of tired of those things. And I really like this, like, kind of like, hey, we just made a bunch of things, try it. Like, that's kind of like my MO is like, oh, I like things. I like trying things. And maybe I could make something very cool with this new API. One of the like weirdest but best examples of this, I think, was Microsoft Inc., which is they had this guy, Brian Roper, who's this. If you've ever watched a Microsoft keynote, he's like the dude in the fedora, like really gregarious, pretty. I mean, it's like kind of unbelievably funny, it's a scene. It's like a full scene. But he was talking about like this Inc. API, which is basically drawing on tablets, you know. And they, Windows, like, has XAML, which is their, like, XML-based layout language, HTML, their kind of HTML competitor, I guess, for apps. But they, okay. Yeah, it's kind of like a, it's like, yeah, it's like React. It's React for Windows. And it's, they basically, like, in two lines of code, you can basically add a drawing surface, like, to your app. So like if somebody like clicks the draw button, they can now interact and draw on your app and save a screenshot and do all that. And that's like two lines of code to add that to your app. And I was just like, well, the web has nothing like that. And iOS doesn't have anything like that. And Android, I don't think, has anything like that. And it's just like easy to add in, you know, they just like, they're trying to make it really easy to add these kind of very complex features to your app. I thought that was cool. It's maybe not the best demonstration of technology, but it was just very cool. Another one that they have is the Cognitive Services API, which is kind of a whole deal, but you've probably seen like the, like, how old am I, or what dog am I, or what celebrity look like am I, or and just these little like apps from Microsoft kind of making the social media rounds, you know. But they had this demo where this guy Saqib Shaikh, he is a non-sighted developer, and he has these smart glasses, which kind of take pictures, you know, kind of live streaming picture sort of thing. But he can like just swipe his glasses. It'll take a picture of the room and like send it to this cognitive services API, and it'll describe to him what's going on. So they have like a little video where he's walking around and he like hears a noise and he does a swipe and it's like a kid on a skateboard, you know, like, and it's like, oh, okay. Like this is making a little more sense. And then there's like other the another thing they did was like if you're in a conversation with people and there's like an awkward silence, he can like swipe it and get like feedback like is this person smiling? Wow. Are they into it? Because, you know, you never realize how much is nonverbal communication, you know, like is everyone in this room pissed off at something I said, you know? So it's yeah. It's kind of like. It was cool.
I mean, it's not funny, but it's kind of, it's funny in that you just never think of that, you know?
No, no.
That must be a struggle, and it probably is, you know, they just can't read the room because of
yeah,
the same way.
Like you said something and it's basically like silence. Like you're like, dude, did I just ruin it? Like, did I like what's happening in this room? And so you could like kind of swipe and like oh, it's a woman smiling, you know, and he's like, okay, good, like fine. That's great, so I didn't make anyone mad or whatever. So
I think woman is smiling too much. Yeah. There's probably some nuance there, you know, like the smile does not look real.
Yeah, fake, a woman in her 20s make fake smiling. So I think I anyway, so this cognitive services thing, it's kind of like a very like thin layer to add like speech recognition and vision cognitive services. You could like auto alt text things for your app, you know, like how huge would that be for non-sighted users if you could just like add alt text to every single photo on your app, you know, just automatically. And maybe it's not correct, and so that's the thing you have to like check against, you know, with any kind of these things. But you know, what if it does a good job at describing these images, like that's kind of cool. And so I think for Saqib, it was a very like, just I think the term would be empowering. Just he has access to something he didn't before. It showed him like he could look at a menu at a restaurant and like use it like a screen reader, like take a picture of this. Okay. Read out the headings to me. You know, it's like pastas, you know, desserts. And he could just be like, okay, read, you know, read pastas and like navigate a paper menu from these glasses he built. And that's, you know, again, that's a huge thing. It's like adding accessibility to the world, not just like, oh no, not forcing the restaurant to like do a braille menu, and because they probably don't know how to do that, but it's adding, you know, abilities to people's just day-to-day life. So I think that's just very cool. And anything that like gives people independence, I'm super fond of. Like I think iPhone does a good job of this too. Just like the assistive technology of the iPhone allows people to, you know, do sign language over FaceTime, or allows people to just kind of like.
So all these little like niches of tech are impressive and interesting to you, and capture that kind of developer indie spirit stuff.
Yeah, I wrote like a whole post about kind of everything I learned and dove into. Like Bot Framework is their new like bot thing, and they made a pizza bot, of course, because every bot has a pizza bot. But what's neat about Microsoft built this bot framework, and you hook up your bot to all these other APIs, basically. And so they kind of want to be the hub. But what's neat is, you know, like Facebook isn't like helping you be on Slack and Cortana and Skype and whatever. I just triggered Cortana. Sorry. So it's not helping you like do that. Like Facebook doesn't care. They actually don't want you on these other platforms, you know? So it's neat that Microsoft is like, well, let's try to make it work everywhere. Let's try this thing, you know? Slack for that matter too, would rather you be on their platform, you know? So anyway, I thought,
yeah,
I was very impressed with the whole thing. And I keep coming back to that whole, like we want your thing to work on our thing. I thought that was just kind of the best, you know, like best thing. And I had the chance to like sit down with people in like round tables. I met like the inventor of PowerShell, which is kind of like wild that I could meet these people, like big people in Microsoft Landia, and basically just grill their products and be like, this is bad. This is bad. Why do you do this? And they're like, no, no, thanks. Like, this is how we get better. So it was a very cool opportunity. So thanks, Ray, and that whole crew, everybody there for making that all possible. So it was pretty awesome.
I think it says a lot that you're looking at Microsoft software to keep at it, because you're in now. You know, that's a big deal. You know, this was absolutely an experiment. You know, and it was it was successful in the fact that you tested it and gave it a long haul try, and telling that you've decided to switch for it entirely. So
yeah, cool. Well, and there's things. I mean, you know, my coworkers still use Macs. The clients I work with still use Macs. like I'm very much like an outlier right now. I mean, even when we went to this conference, Web Design Day recently, like how many PCs did you see? Very few, I think. And I remember mine is basically I had a PC, but it's just very different. And I think there will be things, you know, like there's PNG Gauntlet, but there's not like an Image Optum or Image Alpha for Windows. And that makes it a little hard to kind of do like image optimization and things like that. There's every once in a while, there's like a tool I'm missing. I don't use Sketch, but Sketch would be a huge thing if I was missing it. But Adobe XD is supposed to come, and that's very similar. There are things like missing on the Windows platform, but I like it. And I actually, I don't know, I'm not like very like you have to do it, or like I guess like not really like this is the best OS and I'll fight you to the ground about it. For me, it's like this one suits me like very well. I like the things it's doing. So I'm going to use this one. It's sort of how I feel. I feel like this is the one I like to use, is like straight up the thing. So if you like want to get into a fight with me about which is the better operating system, I probably won't play that game, but, but I feel like there's a lot in the Windows operating system that people just don't know about. And it's great. I like it.
You know, those conversations are so tired anyway. What's the best band? What's the best anything? You know, hosting software, anything, or host. It's like people vote for the one that they like. It's kind of all polls like that are fundamentally flawed anyways. The amount of people on the planet who can compare a lot of those things because they have deep experience in all of them. How many people have like had deep experiences with like 10 web hosts? It's like none, you know? And even if they did, it would be so scoped to their own specific experience anyway, that it's like trying to compare things like that is a weird fool's errand, you know? It's like you can post some screenshots and post some anecdotal crap and then declare a winner. It just ends up being clickbait garbage. Anyway, thanks for wrapping all this up with us. It was pretty cool to follow. But just by virtue of Dave being a Windows user, I'm sure that it's going to continue to lend perspective to the show that we wouldn't otherwise have. And talking about software and stuff. But the beauty of this show is we're a web show. So while OS has come up a lot, not as much as web technologies. So anytime we say Angular or something, that's irrelevant to OS for the most part, because it's just the web, and the web works everywhere, and it works particularly well on Edge.
Well, and that's what I hope people like get from it. I think anyone who builds for the web, it like we need to break out of this like, oh, people only use Macs and Chrome. Like we need to break out of that. And kind of inject some diversity, I think, into kind of, and I think through that we kind of build better websites, kind of things that work everywhere, not just on Chrome. So
We have a few questions we can kind of flush out this show with a little bit. We have a little time left, huh?
Yeah, let's hit it.
We have one that's just was a kind of errata with Mr. Rob Gilbert writes in, who's been working as a front end developer for about 3 years.
and listened to the show that whole time and is now become a senior dev at his company. Surely a horrible mistake. I've gone from knowing very little other than the basics to being able to answer all the questions in the rapid fire episodes and more besides. Shop Talk Show has definitely helped keep the enthusiasm going. Thanks for writing in, Rob. Congratulations on your promotion, and I'm sure we had very little to do with it, but it sounds like you've been leveling up on your own and leveling up with us as we go on this show.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and I'm pretty sure I can't answer all the rapid-fire questions, so you're doing better than me. Good job. Oh, boy. That's great. That's good to hear. I'm glad. It's nice to hear people leveled up, so I like it. I like it. Congrats. Let's do a question. Let's get in back to the roots of the Shop Talk Show. Tim Normington writes in, how come we haven't figured out a way to animate phone app icons on events like when clicked or when moved? I saw something on a forum about iOS clock app displaying the real time. Upon further investigation, I found this was only possible with a private API or something like that. I suppose this question isn't directly related to web dev design, but let's say you had a bookmarked a web page on your home screen. Imagine if you could animate that for certain events. Wouldn't that be the coolest? Well, that's just something to think about. Like if you bookmark something on an iPhone screen, it's static, right? It's like just a PNG, literally a PNG. So what do you,
it is. Yeah, it literally is a PNG. I don't think you have any options in file types there, or maybe I don't even know. I think you don't though, cause I think it needs the alpha transparency. It's just whatever they let you do. I'm sure on Windows, I think they're even more strict. When you make a Windows 10 tile or whatever it is, you don't have a whole heck of a lot of options. You can't just do whatever you want. You follow their format recommendations or whatever. Same thing with a favicon. Same thing with pin tab things or whatever. We're just at the mercy of what people allow you to do. And I don't think that there'll ever be kind of an open standard for those type of things. That's just, it's the nature of platforms, is that they've decided aesthetically what they're going to allow you to do, and you will do it or not do it, you know?
Right. Whenever you like build for a platform, it's kind of like that's you're abiding by that platform, you know, the rules and regulations. I think, you know, if you think about it and you could allow animations and all that stuff, like it could get real bad real quick, like GIFs for icons. So you like open up your new brand new seizure phone and it's just like, what's going on? So I think. Yeah, I like the limitation personally.
Like what if they were all animated? I'm sure that it would be obnoxious. There'd start to be a war of animations. Be like, well, this one's animating, so we have to animate it now because, you know, they're getting the eyeballs that we're not getting on the home screen, and then they're all animated, and then a few companies try to fight against the curve, but they lose, and it just seems like a Pandora's box kind of thing to open up.
Microsoft has these live tiles, which is on their mobile and Windows 10 and 8 thing. And honestly, I've disabled all of them because it would like show up and then it would cycle through and like show you the hottest app in the App Store, or show you like your most recent song and, you know, or the most recent tweets and or emails or calendar meetings. And like it just got like it was just like it turned on. So maybe Windows is for you. But like I disabled all of them because it was kind of a cacophony of things happening. I like turned it up and it was just like, everything's animating. Pay attention to me, you know, I'm relaying information. And I can't do that. I don't know. I just was like, I just would rather click a static image. So I think it's going out on a limb. I think it's working the best it can right now. So it would be neat though.
I mean, maybe our tolerance for that changes over time, you know. Maybe Back to the Future will come true and we'll watch like 12 TV screens at once or whatever. I think our tolerance for moving little jiggers is going up over time. So,
but then you like open, isn't that the future then? Like you open up your phone and it's like Minority Report on your phone because every icon is like cycling through information and
yeah.
Telling you what time and what the weather is, and so
just seems like an inevitable future, so let's delay it as long as we can.
Yeah.
I did, you know, I was using an app on my Mac recently called Clean My Mac, which is one of the like apps I actually like for like cleaning up garbage and freeing up space and stuff. I think that's pretty well done, and it must have some little hack it does, because once you get cleaning, it has like a little like a cinema display kind of icon with a windshield wiper on it, and the windshield wiper goes back and forth when it's running. So there must be some like, you know, Mac OS API for setting that icon that it like rapidly changes out or something. Because I don't think there's an official way to do that. They must have just done some clever hack to get it to work.
Yeah, I wonder if they're just like changing the ICNS reference or whatever. They're like,
yeah, like just cycling really fast.
Yeah, I don't know. You can do it on the web. You can like change your little favicon programmatically if you want.
Yeah, you can. It gets a little, that's how it like sometimes, doesn't Gmail give you a little one or two or three up there for unread emails if you want to or whatever?
Yeah.
Okay, so Tim, I don't know, good luck. Joe Tufo writes in, my name is Joe. I've been a designer for 10 years and front-end developer. Most recently, I've had the title UI engineer, and I've started to interview again, noticing that the role of front-end developer and UI engineer has become more fine-grained. It seems, though, JavaScript is much more of a requirement for a front-end dev as opposed to a UI engineer. When did front-end become so much closer to back-end? Also, I don't have a lot of JavaScript experience besides presentational stuff. Do you think that staying on the path of UI engineer is smart, or trying to pivot and learn more JavaScript? So that's interesting that I guess so in his Joe's experience and definition, a UI engineer seems like design plus HTML and CSS and maybe presentational JavaScript. And front end dev is HTML, CSS, but also more heavy duty JavaScript work. I think that seems accurate.
I think it could be. I think it's also, I don't know, one in the same. I don't know. I think they're like job titles sort of need a way to like express like, oh no, we need a lot of JavaScript. We do a lot of JavaScript. So you need a lot of JavaScript. But I don't know. I in my brain though, like UIs are very JavaScripty, but maybe just not in Joe's experience. So.
Well, I think to reiterate things I've said in the past, that if you're a front-end developer, that JavaScript is part of that toolkit, and that I think it's a little weird for a front-end developer these days to just totally be like, no, I just don't do JavaScript. It's not one of the things that I do. It's hard, and I don't like it, and I focus on HTML and CSS, and that's that. You know, like that seems close-mindedly weird to me, and that JavaScript is very much part of that trifecta, and you can learn it, and you should learn it, and it's a big deal, and you will thank yourself for doing it because you'll feel very powerful. It just seems like you're going to open up career opportunities. It's just like, don't be afraid of the JavaScript. It is a weird world. It's certainly more complicated. I would straight up say it's more complicated than HTML and CSS. I don't know. I'll just leave it at that, I guess. But there's tons of nuance, of course, to truly master CSS is very complicated as well and has tons of nuance. And there's an absolute crap pile to learn about HTML and all the nuances there and all the accessibility stuff that works. And I wish there was more positions in the world that really were just HTML and CSS. And I think companies of a certain size should have people in that role whose job is to be kind of an HTML steward and making sure that whatever the tech stack is, that the HTML is being done well, you know, because you hear right and left of people that are screwing up their HTML. So that would be nice, and I think there are some of those roles. Maybe there's not as much as I would like, but I think that's an acceptable role if you want to take it. But if you are going to go that route, you really should be a true master of those technologies and know a lot. But to just avoid JavaScript just because it just seems dumb to me. Joe, I think you should learn some JavaScript.
Learn some JavaScript. I like to blame Rebecca Murphy for her post about front-end web design, the baseline for front-end web designers or front-end developers. But because I still don't know everything she knows and it frustrates me. But I'm picking on Rebecca. But I think I think there has been. I think some people know their app is heavy JavaScript, so they want to build that in as a requirement. So I think you're doing yourself a disservice by shying away from developing with heaps of JavaScript. If you want this to be a career thing, but you know, some people can make a living without it, but I've only seen it increase. So I would consider pivoting to learn the more JavaScript.
Derek Linebach, yeah.
This might be a good one to wrap up on. Derek Linebach writes in, first of all, big fan, guys. Hey, we're a big fan of you, Derek. I'm a front-end web developer for a non-tech company. I'm the only guy in my department that knows anything about web development. Most of my responsibilities are pretty basic and straightforward. Ever since I got this job, I find myself being left behind on all the new and awesome technology that's constantly updating. I don't have a team to bounce ideas off of or get insights from. I find it hard to keep up with it all. What are some useful ways to stay on top of what's new and changing other than listening to Shop Talk Show? Well, you're starting at the right place.
I don't know. It's fairly rare that we cover the very newest and latest greatest stuff. I don't know. Maybe we do. I don't know. But it's definitely not like our main focus, and we don't necessarily try to do that. This is a good opportunity, though, I thought, to say that, first of all, this is a just build websites kind of question, you know? Which will learn you up the things that you need to know to move forward. And in that vein, this is definitely something we need to link up in the show notes for this, and we've been sharing it on Twitter and stuff, but Melanie Richards put together a companion GitHub repo for Just Build Websites that's a massive, massive list of ideas for what you could build. Just ideas for websites, you know, like you don't have to sit around and wait for an email, the perfect client to come along that asks you to redo their restaurant website so that you can learn some new CSS. You don't have to wait around to, you know, uncover a pile of photos in some basement drawer to learn some new front end technique for building a photo gallery or something. There's ideas that are just sitting out there that you can just do. And Melanie created a list of those. You know, here's a bunch of them. You know, help a friend's new business or your friend's new hobby, or help a friend with their resume or their wedding website. Create a fan site. That's something we see all the time on CodePen, is like make a tribute site to something that you love. Build a gallery from photos that you already have because you're on vacation. Try to rebuild a page from one of your favorite sites without looking at their code at all. Just try to redo it, something that's a, you know, or the opposite. Go look at a bunch of people's code and try to learn something from Matt. That's the first five of a list of, looks like 100 or more ideas from Melanie. And so, Derek, I would say that that's part of the deal too. You know, don't, you know, you worry about, I don't know, being left behind or not learning new stuff as much. First of all, just build websites. And if you don't have any idea of what to build, well, here's a huge list.
Yep. That's a good way. Of course, I think we always do the newsletters, right? I'm a big fan right now. Is it Web Design Weekly, but it's a daily post? Is that right? Web Platform Daily.
The daily one is Web Platform Daily, right?
.org. Okay, so you subscribe to this in your RSS, and I think it's maintained by, it's got a quote from Chris Coyer here. You guys might know him. But it's maintained by, is it Sime Vitas on the Twitters? It's really, so it's daily, and you have to check your RSS every day. You have to check it every day or follow it on Twitter or whatever, but like check it every day because the links and the attributions expire and they disappear after a couple of days. So this is like my main way of keeping up. I'll click through things and see like, oh, okay, today there's a polyfill for CSS OMS smooth scrolling API. Like, whoa, all right, interesting. I'm just going to check it out, learn about this, kind of keep it on my radar. There's a CSS viewport discussion that was sponsored or kind of kicked off by Sarah Sweden. Like, that's, you got to kind of check that out, read about that stuff. So But what I like about the fact, like, don't pay money. If you pay money, you get like a £6 monthly subscription. If you pay money, you get like, you get it emailed to you, and it's like a permanent artifact. But I like the temporalness because it forces me to check it out that day, or else it makes no sense, you know? So
I pay for it just because I think it's my job to know this stuff in a sense. So
I think for a lot of people it makes sense, but I love the fact that it's going to expire makes me check it. And so that makes me kind of keep up with things on a day to day basis rather than like, okay, I guess I got free time. What's the web doing? You know, I think that's hard to do. So yeah, web platform daily. I think I do HTML5 weekly. I think I do Pony Foo's JavaScript email.
I should do a post of mine too, because I get 10 at least, I think.
Yeah, Pony Foo's is good, but kind of high level. So so you gotta kind of like, okay, is it what do I, like? It's kind of like a, what's it going to be this time? There was a A11Y weekly, but it sort of petered out. But it was pretty good, I don't know, good examples of accessibility chatter. So, yeah. And listening to Shop Talk Show. Maybe we should do a newsletter, Chris, and ours will be the best because we'll know everything from everywhere.
It's not the worst idea, although I've had some help on CSS Tricks. We've been handwriting ours lately, which is cool. So that's a possibility of one you sign up for. Kind of started from scratch at CSS Tricks, so it's kind of it feels like a small, like, indie project at the moment because our numbers are just nowhere near, you know, what some of these big newsletters are. Even some of the ones that you don't think of are particularly big, I'm sure, are much bigger than the CSS Tricks one. And I was like, I think we should level up our game. I think we should start making a better newsletter. So we do, and some of it is like, what did we publish this week? Because that's how some people had originally subscribed to it, is they just prefer to read CSS Tricks in this way, kind of. So we do recover, post what we talked about this week on CSS Tricks, but I try to, it's not just, you know, sometimes there's a block quote, but the block quote is like a good one. You know, it's a chosen one that captures the spirit of the article. And then I try to like put the most relevant little bits in there so you can decide whether that article was for you. If there's a spoiler, I'll spoil it, you know, kind of thing. And then some links that we haven't published anywhere else. And then we end it each week. And in fact, we might as well start beginning with it at some point, because it's kind of the best bit, I think, is one of us from the team. And it's me a lot, but it can be anybody, talking about what they learned this week, which is a new, like, unique bit of content for our newsletter. And it just can be anything. The topics have been all over the place. And it's always it's very interesting and personal, you know?
I like that. I like that. So,
that's ours, but there's dozens and dozens of these newsletters. And I like the format of it.
Yeah, because when you get a newsletter, I mean, it's, you know, it's like how you feel. It's like, nope, delete. I'm not reading anything today. Like if the web happened today, that's great. Bye. I'm deleting you. But when it's like, I don't know. But sometimes you are. It's like you're in the morning and you're just like, oh well, I don't want to work yet, so I'm just gonna see what's new on the internet. They're a great time. Also, you can. Here's the secret. Everybody, come over here. All right, come over here. We'll go in your left speaker, or no, actually don't, because maybe somebody's left ears don't work. You can spend like a morning working on something cool, like Hello Worlding React or whatever, and just pretend you were checking your email all morning. No one's gonna know. Just spend like four hours. It'll make you the worst employee, but you also have some new skills to show for it. So don't tell anyone. But you can like kind of sneak mornings away and work on something if you like, you set your mind to it. So that's all I'd say. Anyway, I just got 100 of people fired, so I apologize. Whoops. Well, if you hate your job, head over to shoptalk.com. That's a good segue to the end of the show, probably, huh, Chris? Thanks, everybody, for listening. Sorry if you got fired. Head over to shoptalkshow.com slash jobs. Get a brand new job because we owe you. We need to do you a solid, get you a new job. Be sure to star heart favorite this up in your podcatcher of choice. That's how people find out about the show. If you hate your t-shirt, head over to shoptalkshow.com/store. Get a brand new t-shirt with the pretty, pretty Shop Talk logo, and or CSS Tricks. Those look good too. So you'd look good in a CSS Tricks shirt there, listener.
I agree.
So really appreciate it. Thanks everybody for writing in. Keep sending in your questions because that's how we get content. And so, Chris, you got anything else?
It's a true expose episode here. ShopTalkShow.com.